Father, we come tonight, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us, the privilege you've given us to be in your house tonight. Lord, you've heard the request tonight, you've heard the needs. And God, I know they are big, and yet we know, Lord, you're a big God. Lord, you're able to supply every need. And God, we just again commit each one to you. God, your people tonight have come to your house once again. And God, we come tonight, Lord, seeking a blessing from you. And God, we know that it's only going to come from your word and by your spirit. And God, we ask you now tonight to bless these people, Lord, here tonight. Lord, may they be encouraged. Lord, may they learn from your word tonight. And may we apply the truths that are presented tonight to our lives. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for providing for us every day. And Lord, we just ask you now, Lord, to have your will and way in the service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 4. We're looking at John chapter 4 tonight. We're going to look at the Lord Jesus. We see time and time again in his ministry for 3.5 years on this earth. Oftentimes, individuals come to him to talk to him. And we see that sometimes it was directed and sometimes it was indirect. But we see tonight, as we look at John chapter 4, we're going to find here someone that he come encountered with, and what he did. Most of you know the account here in John chapter 4, but we want to present it tonight again and hope it'll be a blessing to you. In John chapter 4 tonight, we're going to look at four different things. First of all, we're going to look at the well. We're going to look at also, not only the well, we're going to look at the woman. We're going to look at the witness, and then we're going to look at the winning. The winning. All these things are involved in John chapter 4. We're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 30. John chapter 4 and verse number 30. If you will please. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now, get reference to back to this. If you look back in verse number 8, we see after Jesus had met the woman at the well with the disciples, left him. In verse number 8, says, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Okay? They've been gone for a while now. And back in verse number 30, we see, then they went out of the city and came unto him. They came back to Jesus, okay, where he was, there in the Sychar. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? In other words, where did he get his food from? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My, what a statement, folks. My meat, my desire is to do what God, my Father, has sent me to do. Verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are all white already to harvest. And we will have to say that even today, will we not? The fields are white unto a harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things that are ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. We see here a wonderful thing that took place in this story here tonight. We see here, first of all, that Jesus himself, he's left Judea, he's going towards Galilee. And we find here that he has to take a detour. Anybody here ever took a detour? Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not fun. But in all essence, most of the time, it's for our good, is it not? It's for safety or something that maybe has taken place, and we have to make a detour. But we find here in this account of what good Jesus Christ did in this place called Samaria, called Sychar. We find here, first of all, there was a necessary way. In other words, there was a specific way that he was to go. Now remember, Jesus being God in the flesh, yet Jesus obeying his Father, wanted to do what he wanted him to do. So we see here, here's a way he went. So we see on the road there to Samaria, he must needs go through Samaria. Now back in chapter 4, look at verse number 1. Let's start at the beginning of the chapter. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed to Galilee. And notice, he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs, I like those words, he must needs go through Samaria. Notice, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground which that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. First of all, we see here, as we look at the well, here's a well in Sychar. We see the well is a big well. It's about probably 100 foot deep from the point I gather. And it's also about 7.5 feet in diameter. So this is a big well. If the well is full of water, there's a lot of water in the well. Amen? It takes a lot of water to fill a well that size. But we see here, here is what Jesus has been traveling. He's weary. Now remember, he's a man. He's a man in the flesh. He's a God-man, but he still has the desires of the flesh. He gets tired. Therefore, he sits down at the well. And we find here, he must needs go a certain way, and it was good that Christ came that way. Aren't you glad that one day, maybe weeks ago, months ago, years ago, that Jesus Christ came your way? I'm glad he came my way. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing that took place in my life when he came my way. But here the place is described. We find here this is the first place outside of Israel that the gospel is going to be preached. And who's going to do it? Jesus Christ. He's going to do it himself. The greatest soul winner, no doubt, that's ever been, the greatest teacher, the greatest preacher, is Jesus Christ himself. And here he is outside of this place. He must needs go that way because he knows there's something going to take place there at that well. And we see here, here it was Jacob's well. He'd been laboring, he was weird. And again, because he was a true man, he was subject to being tired. He was a poor man also because he walked everywhere he went. He walked everywhere he went. He walked, he journeyed this way. So we see, here was a needy way. There was a way that Jesus needed to go. And God directed him. And therefore, he finds himself wound up at Jacob's well. They're waiting there at that time. Now, notice also, not only was there a needy way, there was a needy woman. A woman now is coming on the bend. That's the well. Now let's look at the woman. We see here concerning this needy woman. We look down in verse number 7. It says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Give me to drink. Notice here the response here. Notice the request, I should say, of this meeting. Jesus begins this meeting with a request. Give me to drink. Give me to drink. Now, the first time Jesus ever seen this woman, the first time this woman was ever seen Jesus. This woman, to her, Jesus was just a man. He was just a tired man sitting at a well wanting something to drink himself. That's why he's there. So we see that Jesus began a modest request. And we find two things the woman wondered about. Notice in verse number 8 again, for his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now she knew that, and he knew that also. But we find here, the lady, she wonders some things. First of all, that he should ask this kindness. Secondly, that he should expect the kindness that he's asking for. She was puzzled about that because of the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans here, you see. So this is the discussion now that they're about to go through here. And we see here in the next verse, verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. He's saying to the woman, you don't know who I am. You don't realize who I am. But I have something for you that you need. He says, you know, I have the gift of God for you. I'm thankful today for the gift of God, aren't you? It's an unspeakable gift. It gives you full of glory and praise when you give this. This unspeakable privilege is to have the gift offering to us. It was a privilege for this lady to be there with the Lord Jesus Christ and Him to offer her this living water from this well. You see, what a privilege it was, you see. What she would have done if she had known Him. We find here she didn't know Him. She didn't know who He was. And Jesus is trying to identify Himself to her that she might recognize who He is and know who He is. So we see the woman, she was very thoughtful. She was very thoughtful. Look in verse 11. The woman said to Him, Sir, Thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast Thou that living water? Art Thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? She was very thoughtful to the Lord Jesus Christ concerning how He's going to do what He says He's going to do. So we see here that her thoughtfulness is good. You know, if we want anything from Christ, if we want anything from God, we have to ask, don't we? The Bible tells us to ask, to seek, and to what? Knock. The Lord's probably not going to give us much in our life unless we ask for it. I mean, God's good to all of us. Don't get me wrong. But there are some things in life that God wants us to ask for. He wants us to ask for it. And therefore, we find here this woman was very thoughtful. And we find here that Jesus is in the midst of her. He's witnessing to her. He's trying to present to her what she needs. What she needs in her life, you see. Now, we also see here, He assures her what He would have done for her. Again, verse number 13. Jesus answered and said to her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. In other words, here's Jacob's well. It's full of water. You drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. There's nothing better than a cold glass of water when you're thirsty, is there? Coming up, I was raised on the farm, and a good friend of mine, his grandmother lived about probably 6 miles from us. And many times, not a lot, but sometimes we would go to her house on our bicycle. We'd ride that far to go and get a, she had a well outside behind her house, and she had the old timing pump, you know, where you prime. And you pump the water out of that well. Now you're talking about good water. Cold water and good water is good. Drinking out of a dipper, you know what a dipper is? Anybody know what a dipper is? Some of you know, some of you don't. It's a little bowl with a handle on it, that's all it is. But it's a dipper, and that's so good. But nothing is more refreshing than water when you're thirsty. Nothing is more better for you when you're thirsty also than water. Well, we sign here that he says, verse number 12 again, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. In other words, that water was good. It's good, but after a period of time, a few hours, you're going to be thirsty again. But verse 14 says, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The water that Jesus Christ imparts to us is gives us everlasting life. That's life how long, folks? Forever. It's life forever, you see. That when he talks to her all about these things, he tells her that this water that you drink out of this well, you're going to drink it, you're going to be satisfied, but later on you're going to be thirsty again. And we notice also here, he says, he would have given thee living water if you asked for it. We see also that he shall never thirst, the Bible says. Verse 15, the woman said to her, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to drink. My, what an open invitation now. Jesus got to give this lady living water. Living water. Now here's a lady that came to where Jesus was. She had a need. He was there to provide that need. Have you ever been in a situation where someone come to you and ask you how to be saved? Anybody ever done that? Been there? Some of us have. A few places, a few times in our life. We've been around somewhere. I remember years ago, I was up at the radio station one day by myself, of course, and somebody knocked on the door. I went to the door, and this young man come to the door. He was in bad shape. He was crying. He said, "Sir, I want to know, can you tell me how to be saved? How to be saved?" I took the Bible and did the best I could to lead that young man to Christ. And he lived in town here for a while. Now he's moved out of town. I don't know where he is now. But here's a time here now when Jesus, someone come to him, not knowing they had a need, but Jesus revealed to her that she did have a need, and he gave her what she needed in her life. We see here, the water that shall never thirst. This woman said, "Sir, give me this water. Give me this water." I'll never forget the day that I got saved. On Sunday morning, I was ready to be saved, to say the least. I'd been to church most of my life, really, and the revival that week, and the preaching was really good as far as the revival was concerned, but Sunday morning was the time that God laid on my heart, it's now or never, it's now or never. I'd got thirsty the whole week. I was thirsty the whole week because of what was being preached. And finally I went down on my knees at the altar and asked Jesus to come to my heart and save me. And I'm thankful that I've been saved. The water that Christ gives shall be in him a well of water. A well of water. That means it'll never run dry. I was raised in the country. We had a well in back of our backyard. It was 35 foot deep. That's all. Shallow well, they call it. You know, it's amazing. All my life I lived there, and it never run dry. A 30-foot well. Jesus said, "This well, this water that I give you, if you drink this water, it'll never run dry. You always have what you need. It'll spring up into emotion. Spiritual life brings us into eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers, we all have in us a well of overflowing and ever-flowing water. That's what Jesus Christ gives us. It never stops. It never stops. It's like the old creek down in the woods. It never stops running. It never stops running. It will continue springing up until eternal life comes. Now, we see here in these scriptures here what took place with these lady coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice this. What do we learn from this? What do we learn from this well, this woman, this witness, and then this winning? We see here, after this lady got saved, what did she do? She went back to her town, did she not? And she told all those people about what Christ had done for her. She went back and told people about Christ. You know, this is what we need to be doing, folks. Telling people about Christ. What do we learn? First of all, we see in verse 13, we learn to see thirst as unrest. Thirst is unrest. There's nothing more miserable, folks, in this life physically to be thirsty, is there? Nothing. Unrest. You can't rest when you're thirsty. There's something that, you know, just bothers you. You can't rest. So we see, first of all, that thirst is as unrest. There's no resting here. We see the recurring of thirst comes from natural water. Natural water. We also see the quenching of all thirst to everybody is the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord when we receive Him as our Savior. This quenches all thirst. She breaks in verse 15 and says, "Sir, give me. Sir, give me. I want this water that you're talking about. I want not to thirst anymore." And we learn also not only to see thirst as unrest, but we learn to see water as a person. Water as a person. Now, Jesus was at the well offering this lady living water. Living water. The difference between the Samaritans and the Jews was a lot. Jesus said, we see her vocabulary change from verse number 9 to verse number 11. She said, "Sir." She said, "Sir," to him. We see this woman now looked at Jesus as a Jew. She looked at him now as one entitled to be called Sir because of what she did for him. He met her need. Also, she looked at him as a prophet. See, not just any man. This is someone special that's in my way right now, and in my path right now, you see. So we see that she looks at him as a Messiah in verse number 29. So we see here from this passage, we learn that thirst is as unrest. Unrest. Would you not say and agree with me tonight that the majority of the world tonight is unrest? They're thirsty. They don't know what for, but they're thirsty. They need their thirst quenched. And the only satisfaction for thirst is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. And knowing Him personally. Knowing Him personally, you see. We also see, learn to see water as a person. Jesus Christ offered water to this lady. From Him, He would give her, and the water would never be thirsty again. We also see something else about this lady, Jesus. We learn to see drinking as believing. Verse 15 says, the woman said to Him, Sir, give me this water. Give me this water. She believed. She believed what Jesus had told her about what He was going to give her would satisfy her. She believed that, and she asked Him to give her what she needed. All who are thirsty to come to water, give ear and come to me, Jesus said. That's what He said. Faith is what? Faith is coming. Faith is buying. Faith is drinking. Doing what Jesus said do. And when she did that, she found what she was looking for and what she needed. Now, this Samaritan woman, we don't ever know who she is. One day I believe she'll be in heaven. I believe that with all my heart. And we see here, if she could speak to us today, she would say, echo my own words, folks. Tell the world what I've told you. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Give me this water that I thirst not. That's what we need to be telling the world today, folks. There's something for you that you need. And that's Jesus Christ as your Savior. He'll satisfy your every need, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. I'm glad today to know that in a dry, thirsty land, in a dry, thirsty land, folks, there's something that will quench that thirst. It's the love of Christ that can be shed abroad in our hearts through putting our faith in Jesus Christ, you know. And it's my prayer tonight that you and I, as believers in this church, will have that hunger and have that desire to present the gospel to people everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. People are dying. People are going to hell. People just don't care. Sister Laura was sharing with me today as she was witnessing today to someone. And it's just so hard today. People just are so, they're so confused. They're so hard-hearted. They don't want to listen to what you have to say to them, you know. And it's sad. If you go soul winning much, you're going to find out that God's going to begin to break your heart. For people out there that don't want to listen. But you know, we still have to go, folks. We don't stop because of that. We go anyway. We go anyway. Now, we see this lady here at the well. We remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He came to Jesus too, did he not? Now, let's look at a contrast between Nicodemus and this Samaritan woman. First of all, we know Nicodemus was a man, of course, and this lady was a lady. One was a Jew, the other was a Samaritan. Okay? We also see that one was respected, and one was just a social lady. We see that one was seen as a moral man, and one was seen as an immoral woman. When we contrast these two, they came to Jesus. One came by night, the other came midday, different times. One had no arguments, only wondering how, but yet the other was full of questions and debate. We see one was cautious, but the other one was very bold, very bold. We see one faded out, if you please, of the story unnoticed. But we see the other went back to her crowd and brought them to Jesus, the Samaritan woman. That's what she did. Folks, that's what we ought to be doing. Going back to the crowds and bringing them to Jesus. Bringing them to Jesus. One we hear of again, we hear of Nicodemus in the Bible, John 7:50 and 19:39. But the other, the Samaritan lady, she's been faded out. We never hear no more about her as far as the Bible is concerned. But my thought tonight is this. What are we doing? What are we doing since we've been saved? Are we going back and telling people about Christ? Are we? Remember here, it's the lady. She came to the well. She was thirsty too. She brought a pitcher to get water. She's going to get her water and go back to her house. It's about a half a mile, I think it was, to Sychar from the Jacob's well. She'd go back home, and the next day she'd probably come back again. Come back every day. I don't know how often she comes to the well. But she was always thirsty, always getting thirsty. And this time she come, and there was someone there to quench her thirst, to meet her thirst, and to satisfy her thirst. And that was Jesus Christ. I'm so glad today to know that I know Him as my Savior, and I know you are as believers tonight. And I'm so glad tonight to know that no matter what I'm going through in my life and what I'm facing, He's always there to help me. He's going to help us, folks. We're living in trying times. We've got a lot of sick people, a lot of things going on in our lives. Every one of us in our families, there's something going on somewhere in our lives to try to disturb us, is there not? But we need to look to Christ. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. If Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is living within you, if you're born again, child of God tonight, He's always with you, folks. He'll never leave you. He can't, because He's within you. He's within you. And He's there to help you. He's there to guide us in all that we do and all that we say, no matter where we are today. I'm glad tonight to know this account with this lady at the well. Jesus concerned about a soul. One. Just one lady at the well. One person. We ought to be concerned about one person. One person. You know, I remember one year at a camp meeting, Brother Robertson was speaking. He talked about walking on the seashore, picking up shells, throw them out in the water. Remember that? Just throwing them back. Throwing them back, one at a time. I remember one time, my wife's sister was at our house, and there was some kind of bug on the ground or something. I forgot what it was. But anyway, she was going to pick it up to keep him going in the house or something. And her mother said, don't pick up that. Don't bother that, you know. She said, well, it might bite somebody. But anyway, make a long story short, she said, if I get this one out of the way, this one won't hurt nobody. You know, this one will be gone, you know. But you know, when we walk out those doors tonight, those doors, wherever you go out tonight, you and I should be looking for the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. Have you got a tract in your pocket? Have you got some way to tell people about Christ? People are hurting today. People need the Lord. And may the Lord help us. I like that song, Since Jesus Passed By. Miss Joy, can you play that song? Can you come and play it? I don't know the words. I know the chorus. But Jesus passed by this woman, and He made a difference in her life. What book's it in? Yeah, I know it's not in the song book. Since Jesus passed by, since Jesus passed by, oh, what a... Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. I can't explain it. I can't tell you why, but oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Let's stand up and sing this chorus, please. We'll go through it, okay? Jesus passed by, since Jesus passed by. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. What's the last line? I want to sing this song. Huh? Okay, these are the words. Since Jesus passed by, since Jesus passed by. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Well, I can't explain it, and I cannot tell you why. But oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Okay, let's try it one more time. Here we go.
Since Jesus passed by, since Jesus passed by, oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by.
I can't explain it.
Well, I can't explain it, and I cannot tell you why.
Coming by. Here we go.
Since Jesus passed by, since Jesus passed by, oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Well, I've been explaining, and I cannot tell you why.
Passed you away one day? Amen. Thank God tonight for Him passing our way and giving us eternal life. Be much in prayer tomorrow for people that are having surgeries in the hospital, and pray for one another, okay? Pray for visitation Saturday if you can't go out and be with us here, and go out and just see what God can do through us. Brother Gene, dismiss us, brother.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you taught us tonight, what you showed us in your word. We pray, Lord, that you go with us tonight. Lord, we bless that you bless these that go out amongst us, Lord, that we go out and spread the gospel as you've asked us to do, Lord, and we do that, Lord, out of love. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with each and every one of us and keep us safe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.